Well, good morning. It's good to see all you guys here this morning. We're great to have you on this this cold morning. And let me just say, it's great also to have those of you who are joining us online, that you are here with us and just sitting there in your living room or bedroom or wherever it is that you happen to be tuning in your car, on the road, whatever. We're just glad to have you. And I just want to say thank you to everybody. I know all of us probably at some time or another during these last 11 months that we have been going through, there's been some time or another when you joined us online to come in and to worship. And I just want to say thank you for doing that, being faithful to do that. I know when I was down for those 3 weeks, just battling and working with the virus, it's a challenge to listen online and to just get caught up in it. There was Catherine, there was her 91-year-old mother. They kept talking, they wanted to eat while worship was going on. I'm like, guys, come on, settle down. Let's just kind of focus on what we're doing here. No, not really. But it was fun. We enjoyed it. But I mean, you have to plan it. You have to get into it. And so I just want to say to everyone who's watching online and to all of you, thank you for doing that. And I really want to just kind of get into that. I want to lay some groundwork for where I'm going, not only today and for the next couple of weeks, but then on into March, because Easter is the first weekend in April. And so we'll have the month of March to just really focus on preparation for Easter and getting ready for that. And so let me just state what to me is obvious and what's just been on my heart, and it's this. I think we are all in the midst of a big case of coronavirus fatigue. When I think about our church family and I'm around people and I see it with our own staff, the reality is it's wearing on us. Would you agree with that? I mean, it's just like, let's get to the other side of this. At first, when we first started out 11 months ago, last March, there was still unemployment for the majority of Americans, and you could find toilet paper. It was kind of fun trying to beat somebody, to the last roll or whatever, being careful not to knock over old people or anything like that. But, it was kind of fun, in doing that. And then I remember for us here on staff, we were, we went through a period of time where we were not all here at the same time. Some would come at certain times and some would come at others. And, there'd be maybe a couple of us here. We'd be, separated. And it was more than 6 feet. It was like, three offices apart, and you would come. And so it's kind of like staycation when you were at home. You had time with family. Maybe you worked at home, you were able to eat comfort food, your belt got tighter and all of that. We had a great tech team here on the Hill, and we were blessed with these guys. And so when it came time, for us to just kind of close our doors and not having regular worship, they just switched us over. We went to online, and I came in for weeks, and I preached my heart out to 700 chairs. I almost started to have an invitation, get them to walk forward. It was all right, and we were able to get into that. And I was grateful for that, that God was just blessing. Our messages, got on YouTube. I got friend requests from people in California, New York, overseas. Why? Because people were at home and people were looking for truth. And so, people would be queuing into, to our services. So we had that opportunity to expand that. But when you step back and you look at it, which is what I kind of want to do this morning, just kind of put a voice to it. The problem is it won't end. It hasn't ended. And I think our life experience, has got kind of nasty, particularly the last several months, for lack of a better adjective. People across America, sadly, there's so many that have lost jobs, people that, have never been in a food line before, going by and picking up food that's being given out free. has lost income. There have been businesses closed their doors. It's been heartbreaking. I hate seeing that. Schools experience doing virtual learning, and they would get away with that. They just don't like it. It wasn't work. Kids not doing well with that. We had playgrounds and gyms and theaters closed. And so if you've got your life point outline, I want you to look at this first truth that I just think is obvious, and that is that after 11 months, COVID has just gotten old. It's just really old. And I just kind of want to own that. I think we thought things were going to change. They don't. It's like what one person said that I found, said, every time we thought there was a light at the end of the tunnel, it was another train. You just felt that. It was another, it's something else is coming down the pipe. I just want you to know my heart in this. And thinking about you guys here, thinking about our church family that's, it's looking online and watching. And I'm thinking about church members that because of the experience of COVID are no longer watching online. We kind of look at those numbers and we watch that. And I know we're not getting all of our church membership queuing in. And I know that. And for a pastor, that's kind of stuff that keeps me up at night. That's kind of stuff that worries me. And so we're in our 11th month of quarantines, social distancing, face masks, online worship, online school in some places, economic recession. And on top of that, we've dealt emotionally and I think viscerally, with the racial unrest that has really just torn at us. Many of us have got friends of color, and we feel for them. We've been in a deeply bitter and partisan presidential election, and now we're going through the impeachment thing, massive unemployment, soaring national debt that, with all the money that's being given out. I think the Washington Post ran an article that so much just rang with me, and it said, you can't even call what we're going through a marathon race because marathons have an ending. This is kind of like an endless slog uphill in the mud. I just think that, to me, that just kind of expresses it, and it's just like, it just needs to be said. I just need to say that. We never expected our lives to be this upside down this long. And that's what I want to think about, because what I'm telling you is it has taken a toll that we just need to own. It has taken its toll physically. People not only getting sick, people dealing with depression, being just inside so much. I ache so much for so many senior adults. I'm not a senior adult. I feel for those. They're locked inside. Can't get out. The emotional toll. So many people being afraid. But just the emotional thing of kind of like a dark cloud that's on everything. Relationally, we're separated. Every time I get up close to one of my brothers here in the Lord, I'm thinking, okay, am I going to put out my hand and shake hands? Are we going to bump fists? Are we going to bump elbows? I'm just like, enough of that. This one, like, ugh. I'm tired of that. And most importantly, about the spiritual toll. And so I just want to say that. Here's the deal. Easter is coming. And we're not commanded to remember Christmas, but we are commanded to remember Easter. We are to remember, we are to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to do that. We do it every time we take the Lord's Supper. And so we are to celebrate, we are to spread the news of Easter. And that's what I want us to do as we get ready for Easter of 2021. And so I want you to look at the insight in your outline, if you will. And the insight is this: I have no intention as your pastor of letting the Hill do anything less than celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ with our whole heart. And what I'm saying to those of you that are online, you guys that are here this morning, that have been here in all three services, listen, I am asking you to join me. I am asking you to spread the word for our membership, that you, in the next several weeks, that you tune in. You just tune in. And it's not that you just tune in online, but I'm inviting singles and couples and families. I'm inviting you, come back to worship. That's what I'm asking. We need this. We need to celebrate Easter. Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We do everything we can to make it a safe place here. Everything is sanitized between services. These rows give you 6-foot separation. And so I'm saying everything is being done. We need to focus on healing and hope and help. And what I'm saying is, if you're not here physically, to those of you guys, and I'm preaching to the choir, you're here. So knowing my heart is with you, I'm saying thank you for being here. For those of you who maybe are watching online, and maybe you're watching online this morning, and there are times that you are here, I would encourage you as much as possible to be here. And that we, and this is like what I'm focusing on for the month of March, and that is how we celebrate Easter in a pandemic world. And I just want to tackle some of the things that I think we're dealing with, that we have been tested in our walk with the Lord. And so I'm calling out our church family to just re-engage, and that we be physically present. And if not, we make sure that our baseline is we're watching online. If I'm not here physically, I'm watching online. Why? Because worship is what we do once every 7 days. It is a command of our Lord. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And so I want to get that out. All right. So that being said, this is a bag of potato chips. Why do I have it? I have it because without a doubt, this is one of the best ones you can buy. Not that I'm promoting the name, I'm promoting what's inside. I really like them. They are so good. The only downside is they make your belt tight. I don't understand that, but they do that. But it's just the right amount of salt and just the right amount of potatoes. Now, how many of you would like a potato chip? No hands going up? Well, it's not going to happen. I'm not opening up this bag. I needed you to raise a hand so I could go on. Okay, so thank you for doing that. And so, What I want to do, you're going to actually be glad that you passed on that. You know, even though I wasn't going to pass it out. I want to share with you something that I found. I'm going to segue into the message, right? So just track with me for a little bit of fun. The Schwab Center for Investment Research, okay, found out that if the typical average American gave up the number of times they eat potato chips with their lunch, they could save in 1 year $176.60. The average person just giving up potato chips. Now, being a Schwab Center for Investment, of course, then they come back and say, look, if you take that money and you invest it each month, in a Schwab's typical retirement fund, or each year in a Schwab typical retirement fund, it will generate $10,483.62 in 20 years. Just what you would spend on potato chips, just kind of FYI. Now, on top of that, dropping the potato chips would also eliminate from your diet 10,000 calories a year. 10,000 calories. Now, you bring that down, that's around 800 calories a month. And since the average pound of body fat is about 3,500 calories, the average potato chip eater, are you tracking with me? The average potato chip eater would lose about a pound of body fat every 4 months. So you could lose 4 pounds of body fat in a year just by coming off of potato chips. And not only that, if you made the investment in 20 years, you could have $10,000+ in your retirement fund, as well as losing all of that fat around your middle. Now, amazingly, what I want you to understand is that reordering your eating world can change your life with regards to your health and your finances. That's just what I shared with you. Here's what I want you to understand. This is a segue to the point that I want to make. One of the best known authors in business today is a guy by the name of Jim Collins. Collins has written two books that are of particular note. One of them is Built to Last. The other one is Good to Great. All right, those are well known and everything. I've been in a conference where Collins was speaking, and he made a statement about ordering our private world that I wanted to share with you because it goes along with where we are with regards to talking about fasting. And this is what Collins said about ordering your private world. He said, most of us don't need to make more to-do lists. What we need to make are some stop doing lists. Now, I want you to think about that. Just some stop doing. As we're looking at 2021 and we're thinking about Easter, I want to rehearse with you what we do here on the Hill every year. And it is about rearranging our lives. It is about making some changes and the value we have about denial. That there is a value to denial. That it is not a bad thing because it can absolutely revolutionize your walk with the Lord and throw you into a fast forward with your walk with God. Now, this can increase your walk with the Lord. So I want you to look, number one, in your life point outline. Let me talk about what is Lent. All right, we've done this before, but I want to do it again. Now, this coming Wednesday, February the 17th, is Ash Wednesday. And Ash Wednesday, traditionally on the Christian calendar, launches the Christian community into the season of Lent. And I never realized a lot of us in the Baptist community may not know a whole lot about Lent. And maybe you've seen some of your friends who maybe go to a Catholic church or a Lutheran church or an Anglican church. You've seen them with a cross on their forehead. And you're like, what is that? You know, your forehead's dirty or whatever. And you don't know about what Ash Wednesday is all about. Well, Lent's been a part of church history really going back almost 2,000 years. It's been something that Christians have done. And the word Lent comes from an Anglo-Saxon word that means the spring season. And it is a period of time. Here's the insight, your outline. Lent is a period in spring set aside for fasting in preparation for Easter. That is historical. That is what believers have done for generations. That they have fasted during the period of Lent in getting ready for Easter. And traditionally it starts on Ash Wednesday and then ends on Easter Eve, if you will. All right, so here's the encouragement in your outline. The pastors and I are not asking you to do a 40-day fast, but we are asking for a 21-day fast and that primarily you will fast one meal a day. That's the challenge. All right, for the next 21 days, starting tomorrow, that you would make a decision to fast one meal a day and to seek the face of God, that to ask the Lord for His blessing in your life. Now, why we do 21? Should we not be doing 40? No, we don't have to do 40. 40 is not something that is set in stone. In fact, historically, if you go back and you check church history, church historians have said that the normal fast for churches has been like 2 or 3 days. That's historical. So most fast in a church was like only 2 or 3 days. Remember, 40-day fast was what our Lord did. Jesus fasted 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted of the devil himself, as well as Moses fasted 40 days, and so did Elijah. But here's the point. Whether it's 40 days, if you want to do a 40-day fast, that's totally between you and the Lord. 40 days or 4 days. Just because you do 4 days doesn't mean that, you know, your fast is a wimp. You know, it's not going to do anything with God. No, it isn't about that. And I think that is important for us to understand. The point is, whenever you and I fast, when we're doing this 21-day fast, it is about us getting spiritually ready for Easter. We're wanting to be ready for Easter, for the celebration of the Lord. We're wanting to be ready to be able to talk to our community about Christ. And a fast that really does that, that tries to honor the time of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, is a fast for life change. That we want to be the men and the women of God. Now, I want you to look in your life point outline at the Lent fast. It is a fast that's all about turning away or depriving ourselves of something, listen, for the purpose to draw near to God. That is the only reason I'm doing it. I'm not doing it to twist the arm of God. I can't do that. I can't twist the arm of God, but I can seek to draw near Him. And if you want to find out more about God, if you want to know more about the Lord, what I'm telling you is a fast can do that. It can open up the doors of heaven. Now, it may be that some of you are needing to lose weight. I'm not looking at anybody. Just saying. It could be, maybe you need to lose some weight. That's a personal decision. Maybe you need to cut back on the carbs. Maybe you need to cut back on alcohol, you know, the beer and the wine. You say, Pastor, it's a Baptist church. Yeah, right, whatever. So, but fasting from those things would do you good. And it would do you good because the purpose of it, of your heart is, Father, I want to draw near to you. It's the only reason I'm doing it. I'm not doing this to try to get your attention. I'm not doing this to try to impress you. I'm doing this because I want to draw near to you. Let me look at the truth in your outline. Repentance is a huge part of the season of Lent. And when you talk about biblical repentance, what does it mean to repent? When we talk about repenting before the Lord, repentance means that I am repenting when I turn away from something that is keeping me from the Lord. Something that is pulling me away from Him. That's what repentance is. It's I am saying no to that. And so the insight in your outline, fasting biblically is a form of repentance. Why? Because I am turning away from food that is a part that's keeping me from the Lord. Why? Because I keep feeding my flesh. And my flesh is more powerful. It speaks to me stronger than my spirit does. And I realize that I'm spiritually weak. And see, we always do this at the first of the year. Why? Because it gets us ready for the next 10 to 12 months. That's why we do it. And so we don't hold Ash Wednesday services. You know, it's not something that we do here on the Hill. We don't do that. But if you did that, you know, you were like, come forward, walk down the aisle. And I and one of the pastors, you know, we put our thumb or whatever into a bowl of ashes, and we put a cross on your forehead. And the whole idea is that when you see that, the ashes are talking about the spirit of your heart. And what you're just saying is, I understand that the Bible says, I am made from the dirt of the earth. From dust thou art taken, and to dust thou shalt return. That's what Scripture says in the Old Testament, right? And so when we put that, when that cross of ashes put on somebody's forehead, we're making a declaration. They're making a declaration, you know, that the Bible says there's going to come a time when our bodies are going to cease to work. And we're going to be put back in the earth, and we're going to return to dirt. And that we're simply saying, I'm allowing this cross of ash to be put on my forehead because I realize that I need to live my life in light of that reality. And that's what we're doing for these 21 days. We are remembering for 21 days that we're all on a march to the grave. We're all going to die. And the whole idea is that we want to end life well. That's what we're saying. We want to be the best church that we can be. And when you come to the end of the Lent fast, you know, when we get to the end of the 21 days, we're closer to Easter. And Easter is when we feast. You know, it's when we celebrate. And that's really how eggs, and I know people want to know from that time, you know, what about the egg deal? You know, the whole deal. All right, so let me just say this about eggs. When the early church fasted, and history records this, one of the most common foods that they fasted from was eggs. Eggs were readily available, and they kept a long time. If you didn't wash them when the hens laid them, you could boil them and they would last longer. At least the chickens kept producing them, you know, during the time. But they didn't have refrigeration, so you couldn't keep milk up. You couldn't keep any kind of meat that, you know, that you had maybe killed. And so the thing that they would celebrate at Easter with when they would break the fast most often was eggs. And so eggs just kind of got into the Easter deal. Now, the whole thing about coloring eggs at Easter, that's all based on myth. And I could tell you the myth stories, but there's no use in getting into that. It's pure myth. And when, you know, if I was to tell you that, you'd say, well, that's a bunch of hooey. And it really is. So there's nothing in Easter about coloring the eggs. It's pure mythological. But historically, it got to be that the eggs were colored, and the color that was used the most was the color red, historically, in looking back. And so that's the story on eggs. I'm not talking about the rabbit, okay? So that doesn't have anything to do with Easter anyway. And so that brings us to number two, and the last point I want to share with you, and that is, what is fasting? When we think about fasting, and just understanding it, it's not about us creating a stop doing list. You know, I'm going to stop doing this, or, you know, or whatever. The truth in your outline, fasting is a biblical directive to abstain, usually from food, for spiritual purposes. That's what you do. And many times, there were different kinds of fasts in the Bible. There were complete fasts. There was no food eaten. The only thing somebody had was water. And sometimes for a long time. And then there were partial fasts. There is a fast in the book of Daniel that lasted 21 days, which is kind of like what we're doing. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. Listen to what it says. In the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, Daniel had a vision. It concerned events certain to happen in the future, times of war and great hardship. And Daniel understood what the vision meant. So he's before the Lord. He is seeking God's wisdom. He's wanting to understand what's coming in the future. And the Bible says, when this vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 weeks. He was wanting to know the mind of God, wanting God to speak to him. So he's fasting for 21 days. He said, all during that time, the only thing I ate no rich food, no meat, I drank no wine, so nothing pleasant. And so he said, and I used no fragrant oils. And what he simply meant is, he said, I really went austere in my life. Doesn't mean he didn't take a bath, but he just said, you know, I didn't put on the lotion. I didn't try to make myself smell good. It wasn't about me dressing up or anything. He said it was a time of grief because I was seeking the mind of God. And he said, for 21 days, I was basically a vegetarian. He said, why did I do that? I didn't do it to impress God. I did it because I wanted to hear from Him. And see, that's the leadership of the Spirit. When we want to hear from God, and it's like heaven is quiet, you can do something. What can you do? Biblically, you can fast. You can do the Daniel fast, which is like 21 days of just eating vegetables. Esther, her people were going to be destroyed. And so she needed to go into the king, who was her husband. But you couldn't go in. Even the queen couldn't go in unless the king called for you. And the law of the land was, if you just appeared in the king's sight, you could be killed because it was an affront. It's just like walking in unannounced. You just didn't do that, even if he was her husband. And so Esther 4:16 says, Esther told him, go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. And here's what she said. Do not eat or drink anything for 3 days. That's the only time you would not drink anything. Only for 3 days. That you didn't take in anything. That would be like a 3-day fast. And my maids and I will do the same. And though it is against the law, I will go in and see the king. And if I perish, I perish. And then one other example that I'll just say, the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts fasted for 3 days. Now, here's what I want you to look at the truth. I want to give you some fasting truths, all right? And just so we understand about fasting, the first thing is the length of a fast is flexible. We are talking about 21 days. A fast can be 3 days. It can be 40 days. It can be anything in between. There is no law to this. It is something that is of the Spirit. It's just what you sense and you feel. We're asking for 21 days. Number two, the reason for the fast matters. Every fast should have a purpose. So why are we doing it? We're doing it because we want God to sharpen our senses about our walk with Him. We have been in 11 months of pressure where our senses are getting dulled and life is just turned upside down. We need to like recalibrate our souls back to the Lord and off of COVID. And that's what this is all about. It is about refocusing on Him. Number three, the link should be long enough that our body and our will knows that we're doing it. And that's why we're doing it 21 days. We will know, you know, I'm not eating supper for 21 days. And I mean, that will make an impasse if that's what you choose to do. Number four, we fast to remind ourselves of something that we are turning from. That we're saying, God, deliver me from spiritual dullness. I've got my eyes on the wrong thing. I've gotten away from time in the Word. I don't have prayer anymore. I'm not chasing after You. I'm just, my life is dulled out. That's what the fast is about. Number five, the fast reminds us to pray about something. What do we pray about? We pray about our impact on Lufkin. God, we want to be the church that You can work through to touch our city for Christ. That's what we're praying about during these days. Number six, the fast reminds us to think about something regarding our walk with God or a lack thereof. Are we having a prayer time? Are we meeting with the Lord? Are you still having a quiet time with Him in the Word every day? Or is that just kind of gone away because you're just dulled out? Okay? And you just kind of own that. And then lastly, number six, fasting is not a law to be obeyed. It's an opportunity for being blessed. It is a gift from our Father. And what God is simply saying is when you fast, I listen. That's just a blessing that the Father says that He will do this. So fasting is a gift from the Lord where I get out of my life something that's numbing me. And I get into my life something that awakens me. It's about saying no to food. And I do it, Father, for You. Now, next Sunday, Lord willing, when we assemble together, I want to talk to you about how do you really get God into your fast, where it's not just a thing, I'm not eating. Because it can become that. It can be a thing, okay, I'm not eating a meal and nothing's happening. It's like I'm pulling the trigger on this gun and nothing's happening. There's no bullets in the chamber. How do you get the bullets in the chamber? How do you fast and God is in your fast? Now, here's what I want you to understand. We're doing this as a church family, right? So we can talk about this with our family here on the hill, but we don't mention it to the city. Lufkin doesn't know what we're doing. We don't talk about it. Why? This is a family thing. We're just doing this as a family. Okay? And so it's between us and the Lord. Now, let me close this morning. I've given you five verses. They're at the bottom of your life point outline. Okay? I want you to listen to it. I want to show you the focal point. All right? Proverbs 25:27. It is not good to eat too much honey. He's talking about sweets, right? Ugh. You know, you love the pie, the cake, you know, whatever. It's not good to eat too much sweets. Like a city whose walls are broken down, listen, is a man who lacks self-control. So it's about us getting control in our lives with our eating. Number two, Romans 12, verse 1. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Listen, this is your spiritual act of worship. When you fast, do you understand? That's a worship time to the Lord. It speaks to the Father's heart when we just fast because we want to be close to Him. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Listen, therefore honor God with your body. And we do that when we say, Father, the most important thing is not me feeding this. It is me drawing near to You. And that's why we fast. Two more. 1 Corinthians 6:13. This is from the Message. You know the old saying, First you eat to live and then you live to eat. Well, it may be true that the body is only a temporary thing, but that's, watch, no excuse for stuffing your body with food. Since the Master honors you with the body, honor Him with your body. And it's all about the thing that, Father, my life is not about eating. My life is about you. And I can have all the sweets, I can have the steak, I can have the potatoes, I can have all this, everything, and be absolutely miserable. Miserable. Where I can't enjoy a steak. I don't enjoy eating out. Why? Because I need you. I need you, right? That's what he's talking about. And lastly, 1 Corinthians 10:31. When you eat, always do it to honor God by how you treat your body. Would you stand together with, please? Let's all stand together. Thank you for being here this morning. God, this is what we're focusing on for the next 3 weeks. We're going to be talking about this. I'm going to deep dive into this a little bit more. I want to encourage you to be here as we do that. And as we go, remember the fast starts tomorrow. You choose how you want to do it. We're talking about, you know, baseline of one meal a day, and that you fast for the purpose of having time alone with Him. You're in the Word. You just want to be someplace where you can just be alone with God and just speak with Him and about your life and your walk. Are you being a witness? How are people seeing you in your walk with the Lord? Are we being the church God wants us to be in our county, in our city? Pray for the pulpit. Pray for the teaching and the preaching of the Word. So, Father, thank you this morning for this time together. It's just good to have been here, to be in your Word today. And God, as we leave here this morning, we want to thank you for these winter days. We thank you for the coldness, because we know the heat will come. It is sure to come. And we maybe will yearn for these days. So thank you for differentness. Thank you for the changing seasons. But Father, we pray that we will not be changed by this season that we're in, that we don't walk with you the way we should. That's our heart desire, that this COVID experience that just lingers will not change us for the bad, but that we will seek you and we'll live for you in these days as we come in and go out in front of people. Go with us, be with us. Father, we pray you'll draw near to us as we honor you, beginning tomorrow with the fast. Lead us in these next 21 days. We pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. You're dismissed. Be careful.